Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. In this episode, we are going to talk more about GLP-1 drugs because there's so much to talk about. There's always new things coming. So we have two big updates we want to share today. One is about semaglutide with Alzheimer's disease. And then another one is tirzepatide in people with type 1 diabetes. More positive data. What a surprise. So let's start with the Alzheimer's disease, because this trial that Novo Nordisk did, we have been really excited about the results and waiting to see what would happen. So to give you a little bit of background, people have been kind of noticing anecdotally, someone's taking GLP-1 drugs like semaglutide, and it seems like their memory's getting a little bit better, that their Alzheimer's symptoms are improving. And some people studied this, looked at retrospective data, and saw positive trends. And so they said, well, we should do a quality study, a large randomized controlled trial to test properly, does semaglutide improve Alzheimer's disease? Because this is an area we don't have a ton of drugs. We really don't have a ton of treatments. And if we could stop the progression of Alzheimer's disease, I think that would be so hugely significant. So in this study, there were 3,808 adults between the ages of 55 to 85, and they all had early symptomatic Alzheimer's disease with mild cognitive impairment or mild dementia. And they were randomized to get oral semaglutide 14 milligrams or placebo. Now, oral semaglutide is Rybelsus is the brand name for this. And the primary endpoint was the change in the CDR-SB, which is a standard cognitive plus functional composite score over 104 weeks. So pretty decent duration of the trial. So what did they find, right? Well, they found that semaglutide improved several Alzheimer's related biomarkers, but these biomarkers, the changes did not translate into slower clinical decline. The drug was safe, well tolerated, but it was pretty disappointing that the drug did not lead to better outcomes in the group that got the semaglutide. So let me step back for a second. Natalie, what do you think?
So this is heartbreaking, I think, right? Because there really isn't great treatment for Alzheimer's right now, and we see it, and with an aging population, right, with the baby boomer population, and we're seeing more and more and more dementia, memory issues, challenges as people age. It is what's happening every day in the world, right? So I think because we all understand a GLP-1, right? A GLP-1 reduces inflammation and it does these amazing things and it's protecting from kidneys and, we can treat sleep apnea, all these things, right? When we looked at it, and I mean, my heart was crushed today. Like it truly was crushed. So because I think we all believed it. You and I both did, right? We were excited.
You are really hopeful it would show benefit.
It does talk a little bit, though, about the complexity of Alzheimer's, right? There are other drugs that help remove the plaques, and those aren't even really showing great response. So even when you take away the amyloid plaques, it does a little bit, but not as much as you would hope, right? So this is a challenge, right? And I think that it knowing that something doesn't work sometimes is as important as knowing that it does work. So
Right, it is. Yeah.
heartbreaking as this is, it also says, wait a minute. Now, you and I were talking about this before we started recording. And one of the things I said was, okay, so it was 14 milligrams of oral semaglutide. Would it have made a difference if it was semaglutide 2.4 sold as Wegovy or 2.0 sold as Ozempic? Would that have given a more positive result? And that will be a mystery because, they're stopping this trial because we see more weight loss in the injectable. We see more, right? So would there be, is it a, and I don't want to say the word stronger without putting quotations around it, right? Would we see more robust data I don't know, but it had to have not been, it isn't good enough data that they're even willing to continue the trial.
Right. Yeah. The study called the EVOKE trial. Yeah. They decided not to do the 1 year extension, which is, of course, discouraging. Now, I will say this is top line data. So there's a lot we don't know. It's going to be presented at upcoming meetings. So I'd be curious about some of the other outcomes, like how much weight loss, how much glucose lowering. And the reason I'm curious about those is because if oral semaglutide is not taken the right way, we know it just doesn't work. It doesn't get absorbed. It really has to be taken separate from all other medications, no food, only up to 4 ounces of water. And so if people weren't taking it properly, that could certainly impact outcomes. I really wish, I wish this was done or would be done with 2 milligrams of semaglutide injectable, or if it'd be done with like tirzepatide, 15 milligrams. But now, based on this, I don't know if anyone else is going to take that time and all that money to invest in another trial, because this is, it's a big investment to do a large trial like this.
I mean, that's where it comes down to is where do they want to spend their money and what do we do next? So, yeah, more to come, I'm sure. And I'm sure there'll be readouts at all of the major meetings in the next year or so.
Yeah, I mean, I hope. Yeah, I'll look forward to kind of what is presented, because if there even is some symptom improvement or some improvement in biomarkers, I don't know, maybe that at least if you're using it for obesity or diabetes, you can feel encouraged. But yeah, I think overall this data is, it's sad. It's like a bummer. Yeah.
It is.
All right. Well, let's go on to happier things now. So tirzepatide sure did show promise, more promise in type 1 diabetes. So do you want to share the latest study in type 1?
Absolutely. So a study published in Diabetes Care. The study is called Tirzepatide in Adults with Type 1 Diabetes, a phase 2 randomized placebo-controlled clinical trial, right? So here we go. It's called the Turtle Study, 12 weeks, phase 2 randomized control, 24 adults. So a small study, right? We're still looking at these GLP-1s with a smaller number of population, type 1 BMI greater than 30. Why 30? Because that's considered clinically obese. Participants received once weekly tirzepatide, 2.4 milligrams, and then increased to 5 milligrams for 8 weeks or placebo. So they weren't titrated all the way up. This was it, 2.5 and then 5. That was it. Okay. Mean change in weight was 10.3 kilos or 23 pounds of weight loss in the treatment group compared to 0.7 kilos in the placebo group, with an estimated treatment difference of 8.7 kilos. This is big, right? This represents about an 8.8% body weight loss. It improved A1C values with a mean difference of 0.4% from a baseline of 7.3. Total daily insulin was reduced by 35% from baseline. No significant adverse events, including no severe hypoglycemia, no DKA in either group. So, Anna, let's talk. I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, this I so even though this is a small study, because it's a randomized controlled trial, I mean, it's a very high quality study. And these outcomes, I mean, a 0.4% difference in A1C, 35% lower insulin dose, the weight loss, it's like, come on, we know this. We anecdotally see this every day. We have proof from this trial. And I really hope the FDA will approve these drugs for type 1 diabetes, at least type 1 and obesity, because I think it's becoming clear trial after trial, these are so beneficial. And right now, the coverage, it's so tricky depending on the insurance and all these things to get for certain people, that it would just be so great to just have an indication, have coverage. But I was really impressed by this weight loss. I mean, that is, it's just very impressive. They did actually report on their CGM metrics, and time in range, it looks like, was 72.6% with the tirzepatide group after 12 weeks and 63.2% with the placebo group. Now, the only caveat to this is the placebo group did start lower, but we would expect, I mean, that's still a pretty big difference, and we would expect that tirzepatide had more time in range if they had greater reduction in A1C. So,
right, right. And remember, 5% reduction means something, right?
Yeah.
Reduction in time in range means something. So if we're looking at a overall approaching or at 10%, wow, that's impressive, right? I think the challenge is going to be, we know that that we're looking also at, you know, for GLP-1s and GLP-GIP cardiovascular risk reduction, right? We've got the FLOW trial. We've got, you know, sleep apnea trials. We've got all these different indications. So when you say to someone, well, you have type 1, but you don't have a large enough body habitus, so you can't have this, right? We don't give Ozempic to only people with a BMI of greater than 30. For people with type 2 diabetes, do we? So semaglutide, Ozempic, which is the type 2 diabetes drug, we don't do that, right? So I think that I hope in my hopeful heart, right, is that we're not going to eliminate those people with type 1 that have a BMI of 29.5, right? Because, you know, I have patients that will say, I'll just eat up to 30 so I can get this medicine.
Oh, gosh, that would be awful.
Right. But, you know, you understand, right, that we don't want to eliminate a whole group of people. So that would be my concern about FDA approval for only. But this is where you're going to see the most weight loss, right? You're going to see it with a BMI of greater than 30, right? So, but I'm super excited that there's more and more data coming saying GLP-1s or GIP makes sense for people with type 1 diabetes, right? So it fills my heart with the joy that we need to go into this, like, come on, let's go, come on. So it'll be interesting the number of patients that we'll need to actually treat in a phase 3 trial in order to get FDA approval.
Yeah. And I think what's encouraging is also the fact that the A1C difference of 0.4%, yes. Because that may, yeah, you could say, well, yeah, some of the weight loss may be contributed, but I bet there's probably other things going on. I mean, we see A1C improvements even in people that use these with type 1 that don't have obesity. So I think if that could be demonstrated, then yeah, maybe we could get approval irrespective of weight. Of course, we just have to be careful people don't lose too much weight. But I agree. I would like to see an expanded indication that's not just weight.
Right. I mean, I use semaglutide or tirzepatide in people with type 2 with BMIs of 26, right? I mean, we just use lower doses so they won't lose so much weight. But the efficacy is so great, right, that, you know, and we've seen this like in Viral Shah's study with that the fluctuations go down, right? That overall, that just that CV is reduced. And, you know, that's what we're looking for all people with type 1.
Yeah, great, great study, even though small. So, so that wraps up. We had some good news to share, some less good news to share, but we appreciate you tuning in. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.